And so what an exciting time to be on God's side. He's moving like never before and speaking like never before. I can remember when I was first saved, you know, 36 years ago, if somebody got a word from God, you talk about it for months. And if there was something, you know, maybe we didn't have the videos like we have now, but there'd be like an article come out, somebody talking about some visitation of God, we would pass it all around and celebrate somebody had a visitation of the Spirit. And now it's happening daily. I can't keep up with all the videos of people having Holy Spirit encounters right now. And all of them confirming one another that God's about to do something very great. Amen? And so we're going to talk about that tonight. I have no idea where this message is going. I've got my normal message prepared. We've been talking about corruption and corrosion. And in fact, that's based on a vision as well. I'm going to reshare again. But from there, I don't know where we're going. I had it prepared, but this afternoon, I felt a shift. So we'll see where it goes from here. It's been now about a month ago, a little over a month, I believe now. We were at an all-night prayer, and I had a short vision. And on it, I saw a big sheet of sheet metal that had totally been eaten up and corroded. There was almost nothing left of that piece of sheet metal. But it had been sandblasted. It had been chemical dipped or sandblasted. It had been so treated there wasn't a speck of corrosion left on it. I mean, it was just shiny, brilliantly shining metal. But yet it was so, there was nothing left of it because it had been so eaten in the past, it looked unusable. And the Lord said to me, I have sandblasted my church during this time. I'm working on their hearts. I'm preparing them to build my end time, you know, move upon. And I said, God, but there's nothing left of that metal that's worth using. It's for normal body work or normal construction, there's just too frail. And he says, what man cannot use, I can use. Or what seems impossible for man, I can do. And I'm going to, now that I've got rid of their own efforts to do this, now that they realize they don't have the strength or ability to do it themselves, I'm going to build on their inability. In other words, God had to get the people of God humbled to the place they realized, I can't do this by myself. And of course, the word says, unless the Lord build the house, those that build labor in vain. Unless the Lord guard the city, or cities in this case, the watchmen guard it been in vain. Is that not a prophetically true statement right now? I mean, cities are on fire, and it's like there's no major effort being made even to try to stop it. It's hoping that, you know, anger will burn out or whatever. So we've yet to see what's going to come out of all of this. But God is preparing to use a people that have humbled themselves before the Lord to build His church. 2 Chronicles 7:14, of my people, which are called by my name, how many know that's us, will humble themselves. Not God humble them, will humble themselves. Now, to be humble doesn't mean you call yourself a worm. That you say, you know, I'm just filthy rags before God. I'm worthless. No, you're not worthless. You're worth the blood of Christ. You're priceless before God. That's how much He paid for you, right? But humility, biblical humility, means you realize you can't do what you need to do without God. Amen. None of us have the ability to grow a single cubit in our stature, right? Or a single inch by our own effort. We need God. In the same way, we can't bring this revival of our own ability. There's not a church building program. There's not a people-pleasing set of activities out there that will let us build the revival church. And instead, God's calling on a people to seek Him and pray to watch God move. So again, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, there's the sandblasting. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Now, I've been hearing that verse for 33 years a lot, because when I first met Pastor Callahan, that was his number two verse. His number one was Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. That was his favorite verse. But he preached 2 Chronicles 7:14 to us repeatedly. That we need to pray and seek God to see God move in the land. Well, the land there was not nearly as much a mess as it is now. Amen. We really need to pray right now. And so I've been teaching through different forms of things that cause corruption in our lives. And I've got a whole list of them for tonight. I don't know how far we'll get into it. But things that we as Christians should be avoiding or the damage they cause. In fact, let me do start on a couple of them. Let's see here. Let me get back to my notes. Thought I had them ready. There it is. We've been talking about in the natural what causes corruption in like paint jobs, right? How to spot corruption. We found it that moisture and filth, dirt, grime trap moisture and let it rust steel. And in the natural, you've got to get rid of all of that. And we discussed about how once rust gets into a vehicle or any kind of steel, it'll eat away at it until you stop it or it's gone. Rust has an insatiable appetite to destroy metal, to destroy steel. And so, again, we talked about many types of things that cause corruption in the natural. And I want to go into some things about why we need to remove it tonight. In fact, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Are you there? And verse number 17. Well, verse 16. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. Now, he's talking about preachers who are babbling. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. So there were some people out there that were proclaiming that the resurrection has already taken place. So what happens, people thought, well, why am I trying? I must have missed it. I must have fallen short of the glory. Too late for me. And Paul said it was overthrowing their faith. And he says their word eats like a canker, or it's corrosive or corruptive. And that's what wrong doctrine does. That's what many demonic doctrines do. They eat away at your foundation of faith and cause you, how can I say, to stand on faulty platforms. You're walking around with flawed metal or man-made structures that can't hold you up. And so we as the saints have to make sure we address anything inappropriate in our lives and anything we discover is incorrect in our doctrine. And I believe we're going to see both of these taking place in these end times. Amen? I believe God's getting everything fine-tuned for the glory to come forth. Now, many of you in here are my age, a few of you even older. And just a few. And I remember way back in the early days of TV. In fact, I have two 1948 TVs at home. But I remember those days of the old TVs back in the 50s and 60s where you had these tuning dials. You had to hold the antenna just right and turn the dial just right, and you kind of have to play with it. It was almost like cracking a safe. Safe cracking, you're like, you want to file your fingers first and fingertips, and you dial it just to get that thing to come in. And then they had another knob called fine tuning. Remember the fine tuning? And it got you right on that station, the best. It's still full of snow, but it was the best you could get it. And God's been developing us for years, but now he's got us in fine tuning. Now, if we will seek him, he's going to show us little things we need to make adjustments on. Amen. And how many know we want to make those adjustments? I mean, today I spent virtually all day in the Word and prayer. And much of my prayer was, God, show me anything I need to make changes in. Because we need the glory right now. I really am convinced the only thing that can fix America right now is the end time glory. And I believe the devil has put America on a collision course with destruction. Because if these things continue like they are, I'm sharpened. See, this isn't going to turn out well. Too much hate and counter hate and resentment rising up. And this could be bad. But God has a plan. And where gross darkness manifests, God's going to bring the glory that produces end time revival. And eyes will be opened. Amen. And so today, while I was just meditating, praying in the Word, it dropped in me to draw some pictures tonight of some of the visions we've had in the past. Now, here's my request, first of all. Do not judge or laugh at my artwork. Because there's many better out there, but I've seen worse. But what I've drawn represents, very rapidly drawn, represents some of the visions we've seen in here in the past. Some of the words that God has given us. And to me, it almost presents to us, I wanted to write them down. In fact, I drew the pictures at home today. Here's my drawing. And it presents almost a jigsaw puzzle. I'm asking God, how do these pieces fit together? What's the timing of these pieces? Where are we at regarding these visions you've shown us? Amen? So I'm going to turn this board around, and then I'm going to talk to it. And we'll see where we go from there. Can you see that? Well, well. What I've drawn here are some of the visions we've had in the past that I just wanted to put down really to cause us to ponder some and to really to brainstorm. So what's I've been doing? What comes next? Because everything I put on the board, I believe, are accurate visions we've received from God. Do you follow me? I believe things really God that God showed us. The first one up in this corner up here is one Patty had. How many years ago was that? 6 years ago or so? Maybe you're older than you think. Oh, it's been more than that. She had a vision some years ago. We were here at an all-night prayer. And she saw a map of the United States. And she saw a pitch-black canopy, like a tarp, giant tarp coming down and perfectly form-fitting the United States. And it looked like it was going to totally seal America in darkness. But then as God took her closer to the edge of the canopy, she saw it was being held up from touching by intercessors right here. Here's our close-up view. And they're all women intercessors. And they were holding that darkness, all facing outward like they were protecting America, holding that tarp from totally touching down. And God was telling us, and she knew there were intercessors, that the devil was trying to take America, but intercession would keep it from being able to finish its work. And I believe that's where we're at right now. I believe that was a vision that God gave her of what was about to come, and we're seeing this birthed at this time. Now, Pastor Nancy has seen this a few times since then. And what she saw a ball of glory underneath the canopy, holding it from coming down as well. And that it was increasing in potential, and it was going to destroy the darkness. I believe that. I believe that's a summation of what the enemy intends for America and what God is doing to redeem it. And that's why it's so important right now the intercessors rise up. I'm telling you, America is in for a rough time if we don't continue the work that God started in 2016. I thought in 2016, if we lost that election, America was finished. But God gave us a stay of execution Now he's calling the church to let him sandblast on them and get them ready to be used to build upon. But how's God going to build? How's he going to build on us? By drawing us to intense intercession. By giving ourselves over to prayer. You know, in Haggai, let me turn to it because I believe it's an important passage. Lance Womel has been on this passage a lot himself lately. Haggai chapter 2. And Haggai is right between the Z's. You know what I mean by that? Zephaniah, Haggai, and then Zechariah. Well, I said Zechariah, Haggai 2. Go to Haggai chapter 1. Verse 3 says, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much and bring in little. You eat but have not enough. You drink but are not filled with drink. You clothe you but there's none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord." Now, let me read the next verse as well. Then I'm going to go back and teach on this. "You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house." Now, here the Lord says, and the Lord of hosts means it's end time. It's an end time reference. He's rebuking Israel for focusing on more on building their own lives and their own houses than focusing on what God would have done. He said, "You're building a sealed house while my house lies waste." Now, a sealed house, what does sealing mean? It means a limit. You know, when you have aircraft flying and they talk about the ceiling of the aircraft, that's as high as it can go. And so a sealed house means you live in a limited house because you're not focusing on what I would have you do. Do you see this? So he says, "I need you to go and build my house. Focus on what my calling is, and then I'll take the limits off of your house. Then I'll bring the glory." He says, "I'll be glorified in this, saith the Lord of hosts. Then I'm going to bring the glory forth." And the number one entrapment for the church right now, even for the revivalist church, is a tendency to get caught up in doing their own thing and not investing their lives in the kingdom of heaven. You know, I don't want to sound mean today. I don't want to, because I'll be preaching to myself, maybe a little bit, maybe a lot. But I wonder if we get to heaven, God's not going to have a scale and say, "Here's how much you watch television. And here's how much you watched, you were in the Word and in prayer." Now that's a worldwide concern. In other words, here the world's, can we use the term going to hell in a handbag? I mean, devastation is being birthed. And we want to see what, you know, is on Let's Make a Deal or Jeopardy. Or, you know, what's the new crime show out this week? And I wonder if we're not wasting God's time sometimes. And I'm not telling not to relax and have a good time. I'm telling you that God's calling us to something greater than what's on television. And it's possible to invest your days seeking God when you have time. And then watch what God says to you. Y'all still love me? Today in prayer, I keep feeling this drawing, God saying, "I need my people to get out of the world's distractions and get out of trying to do their own thing and focus on what I've got for them to do." Because I'm telling you, God's trying to call some people to fire intercession, to birth new things into the kingdom of God. But how much are we distracted? So, Patty had this vision that I believe represents America today, and I believe only prayer can turn things around. God's calling people to intercede right now. Well, you know, I just can't stay up late and pray. Well, I can't even stay up. I can't get up early and pray. I'm too busy in the middle of the day to pray. Here we go. And I really believe we stand before God, we're going to be without excuses. I'm not trying to make this hard. But I'm telling you, God's calling His warriors to line up. You've been training for years. Now it's time to pick up the sword and do something with it. And so, this was the vision that Patty had. Now, on top of that, let's go right here. Here we are. Here's something else taking place. Now, this is not a vision. This is actually taking place. We've got cities being burned. We've got, you know, people shooting each other and killing each other from both directions for no reason other than hate. Now, Jeremiah Johnson, the prophet Jeremiah Johnson, I read a visitation he had a few weeks ago where a demon appeared before him. It was actually an open vision. A demon appeared before him with a scar on his face. And he says, he is the forerunner of the Antichrist. And he's here to cause destruction. At the same time, God's wanting to bring the glory. And he told him that there would be three major moves. He challenged the devil to tell him what's up. And the devil was compelled to tell him. He said, there are going to be three major demonic moves this year. The first one would be fear. 4+ months of coronavirus. I don't understand this. I'm still reading people's posts on Facebook who are celebrating when people get the virus. So they can say, I told you you should have wore that mask. I mean, it's like they're so happy that there's another outbreak in some states. Whether it's true or not, I don't know, but people are declaring it, and they want there to be more outbreaks to say, I was right, you should have kept the mask on. You shouldn't have opened those churches so quick. Craziness. So, we've got the cities being set on fire right now. Well, the fear was the coronavirus, is where it was. The coronavirus produced fear. The second, he said, attack would be hate. Here we are. And I'm watching stupid things being said about the cities being burned and what should be done about the cities being burned. We don't want to be out there shooting people or beating people up. You follow me? And some things do need to change. Some things need to change. Some things, not going in to do it tonight. There's some things I thought should have been done away with 50 years ago that we're still have hanging around. So cities are being murdered. This is a real thing. Now, I had a vision, again, probably 10 years or so ago, of a river going through this part of the sanctuary, and flying up that river was a speedboat packed with the revivalists, having the greatest days of their life. I mean, they're just having a party. But behind the boat, this isn't a very good drawing. It's better. Behind the boat, the earth was opening up. The earth was just swallowing everything. The trees on the side of the river were caving. And foam was flying up 100 feet in the air. But it couldn't catch the boat. It was like a fissure opening up, swallowing the river, but it was going at the same speed of the boat and it couldn't catch it. And the revivalists were staying, having a party, staying just ahead of the collapse. I saw this. One of the clearest visions I've ever seen. I know there's an application there. Now, maybe we pray and we stop it. I don't know. Or maybe this is part of it. But I don't think so. I think there's more to come. Oh, I left something out. Jeremiah Johnson said there'd be three attacks. First, fear, then hate, and the third one, greed. The love of money. And I was wondering what greed was about, and last night Lance Wall and I was teaching, and he said, we're going to see the greed come out at the Democratic National Convention, because they're going to promise the world to people that will vote for them. It's going to be a massive effort to buy votes. Just vote for us. We'll give you the world. No indication how to pay for it, but we'll give it to you. So it's going to be a massive socialism effort to buy votes, all birthed in people's greed. And I believe that. Watch it come to pass. But the point is all these individual visions and words to us, some have to unite together. So I had the speedboat vision, one of major collapse. Have you guys read The Harbinger? Jonathan Kahn. That book was powerful. And it was a book that says, if things don't change, here's the collapse that will happen. But if we will pray, God will change the direct, you know, change what takes place. And I'm hoping this is one of those that God's going to change it. Now, I want to be on the boat. I just don't want the collapse. But I do know there's got to be a judgment of the wicked, even in pre-rapture days, because God said it. Amen. He's going to deal with wickedness. We've had Pastor Nancy, and I've seen this as well, that God's opening the windows of heaven to all new levels for us, pouring out light and revelation and anointing on us. In fact, we had the word last Sunday morning she had, about the anointing was increasing on us. Amen. I believe that. That plays a part. See, where the enemy's wanting to bring darkness, God is going to bring light. And there's going to be a counter by God to everything the enemy does. You've heard the principle of the first step? We've talked about it in here. That if you want God to move in your life, you need to take the first step. If you want Him to move in your life, you need to first speak the word. If you want to visit you in any form, you need to first praise Him. Whatever you need God to do, He expects you by faith to take a first step. And in the same way, God lets the devil take the first step. Did you ever watch the old Westerns? Me and China did. And you got the good guy facing the bad guy. And usually the good guy said it, he would say, "Draw." So when the bad guy went to draw, the good guy would shoot him, you know. And I believe right now God's telling the devil, "Draw. Show your hand. I want people to see who you are." And we're seeing darkness exposed like never before. We're seeing the true heart of leaders of this world who are trying to produce a one world government and shut down capitalism, shut down the church. That's really the focus of it. Shut down the move of God. Show who they really are. And so God's saying, "Draw." But God is a much faster draw than the devil. Amen? I mean, God could stop time if He needs to. Can you imagine? God tells the devil, "Draw," and the devil starts to do this. He gets right here. God just stops time, walks up to him, you know, walks around, looks at him a little bit, takes his gun, points it to his own head, you know, the devil's head. Had the devil known what he was doing, he would have never crucified the Lord of glory. But he let the devil draw first. Amen. And then, remember the railroad tracks? God said, "I've got tracks." They went from right here out that back window into this cloud of glory. God said, "You're on track to go into the glory. Don't get distracted. Don't look at the little fires to the side." I didn't realize the little fires would be cities on fire. Didn't realize that. I thought it was going to be like, you know, the football game wanted me to watch it. You know, should I go fishing or not, or should I get in the Word? I never realized there'd be cities burning down. But God said, "Don't look at the fires." Because I saw them in the vision. I saw the fires. He said, "Stay focused on the glory. Stay focused on where you're going. Don't let it take over how you think and how you feel." And so the railroad tracks go to the glory. But then here, March of 2018, I had a dream. And in the dream, God took me above the earth and showed me the churches of the world. And He said, "Here's the churches going to the glory. Here's the churches not going in." In other words, I've just drawn the tracks here with a split. Those going to the glory, those not, those going down, those collapsing. And in fact, in the dream, he had me selecting something. I was really thirsty. And I reached into a cooler, and there were all these Coca-Colas and other well-known drinks. And I thought, a Coca-Cola sounds good, but as I went to grab a Coke, I thought, no, I don't want a Coke. Everybody drinks Coke. I want something different. And I reached out, looked through, and I found an RC Cola. And I grabbed it. Well, I'd forgotten, but Pastor Nancy reminded me, RC stands for Royal Crown. And I chose God's way versus what everybody else does in the dream. And God said, the ones that are going to the glory are the churches that will not get involved in people-pleasing, user-friendly programs. They won't try to build it by man's efforts or, you know, entertainment systems. They're going to build the church as the Holy Spirit leads, and they're going to do it by faith. They're going to teach the Word, trust God, and not try just to pet people on the head. I don't think we've yet in here been accused of petting people on the head. Amen. It's okay, God loves you. No, we're like, suck it up, cupcake, and you need to repent. Now, we'll have Patty put her arm around you now and then, but we need to step up versus shirk back. And so there was a split of who was going to the glory and who wasn't. And the number one vision I have, we have the water tower picture back here. In about 1989, I had my first ever major vision. And God showed me a water tower opening up. And as the water tower opened up, inside was a city clear as crystal, shining with the glory of God. I mean, clear as crystal, brilliant with the glory of God. And I'm not going into the details of the dream for the sake of time, but it was birthed by intercessors. And God said, when my people pray and will seek me and let me change them, I'm going to birth cities of glory. So the railroad tracks go to cities of glory. So what we have here on this board is we've got America being attacked with a canopy of darkness. Right now we've got cities on fire. But God wants to, follow me, God wants to convert cities on fire to cities of glory. So what I'm asking God right now is, what's the process? You know, if I'm working on something, say I'm going to work on an engine or some part, or I'm trying to redo. In fact, yesterday I bought two pinball machines. I bought two bingo pinball machines. They don't work. And I've always wanted one of these. These are not like normal pinball machines. Many of you probably never even seen one. And I found, first I've ever seen in Kentucky, I found two of them for sale and bought them. And I'm going to try to take the two that don't work and put them together and make one that does. And then sell the parts on the other one to pay for my whole investment. For fun, that's something I wanted to do for years. But where was I going with that story? Praise God, there was a point to be made out of that. Oh, yeah, yeah. These things are almost totally mechanical. Now, they're run electrically, there's motors in them, but they have these big mechanical actuators all in them. I mean, these are from like the 1950s. And I've got to tear them down and figure out how they work. And I'll have to do it in a methodical fashion. What goes to where? What wires lead to that? You know, to this and that. And I'll have to figure out how this come apart and how do I put it back together. Make sense? What's gone bad in it? What do I need to replace? So I need to do it in a methodical way. Well, I believe we need to do the same thing with where God's taking us. I don't like just shooting blindly, trying to guess where God wants me to go or what He wants us to do. I've sought God for years. God, what do you want us to do as a church? What outreach program should we be involved in? Should we start other churches? What should we be doing? God just keeps telling me, pray and write books. You follow me? And then He told us to do the community ambassadors thing here a couple years ago, year and a half. But I want to know how these link together. I can see how this comes in and links to this. I want to know what the process is to bring this into place, to keep us on this, to get us on the boat, to get us in the water tower glory. What's next? You know what I keep getting? Does anybody else want to know? Anybody else want to know what's next? How these? Does anybody believe this thing? I want to know what's coming next. And what I keep hearing is, keep praying and I'll show you. But as he's done with my life all the way through, he rarely shows me very far in advance. He shows me the end goal, but he doesn't show me very many steps ahead of time. Because he knows I would go out there and try to make it happen myself. So he says, I need you to be that weak sheet metal, humbled, and trust me and keep seeking me, and I'll have you ready to get on board the boat when it's time. Because me, all of this, I want to stay on this, to get on this, to end up in this. Make sense? You know what God says? Okay, then stay right here. Stay praying. Stay praising. Stay after the kingdom. And again, I had that word last June where the Lord said that if we're going to go to the glory, we've got to become masters of functioning in the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And here's the thing. We've been talking about the corruption. We cannot properly function here unless we allow God to sandblast us. Lest we let him change us, cause us to adapt, not get into tradition. You know, I mentioned that Aaron and Grace have moved to Missouri. And we can't afford to consider it a setback. We miss them, but God hasn't changed his plans. Jesus said this. He says, you have made the word of God of none effect by your traditions. Your traditions nullify the power of the word. And we can be in danger of getting traditional about our worship services. Well, this is how we've done it for years. Well, maybe it's time to shift. Maybe it's time for us to go to a different type of pressing into the glory. We will have a full-blown worship team. But right now, we're going to press in with everything we have regardless. Amen. And don't get negative. Well, I just really liked it that way. There's a lot of things I've liked in the past that had to change. I liked it when Tennessee had winning teams. I changed that for like 20 years now, praise God. The only thing that matters, as far as us personally, is learning to function here, to stay on these tracks, to get into the boat, to be part of the city of glory. A city of glory. And that's what God wants to lead us into. Are you following us so far? And God wants us to do that. He wants us to stay on his path. He wants you in the glory more than you want in the glory. But he needs us to trust him to get there. Go to Genesis chapter 6. Looking back some verses dealing with corruption or corrosion, rust. Genesis chapter 6. And here's the story about Noah. Built that boat, right? Aren't you glad Noah got on the boat? He had to build his own boat to get on. I wonder what God's going to do to prepare our boat. You know what's interesting? I think just as this drops in me. When you go to the Ark Encounter, there's no reason to believe that Noah's Ark looked like that boat. Have you been to the Ark Encounter? It looks like a standard boat. It's got a square back end and a pointed front end. with a bow and everything, keel. It looks like a normal boat, but it's big. And the problem is Noah's ark didn't have any motor. Didn't have any sails. It had no method of propulsion whatsoever. And tests have shown the most stable form of, how can I say, flotation device you can have is a box, the given direction, the given proportions of Noah's ark. There's no reason to believe it had a pointed front end. There was no need for it. You have a pointed front end when you have a motor or sails to push the boat in a direction to cut through the water. He had no need for that. It was just a square box. It probably had a pointed bottom end, most likely, but basically it was a square box as far as the shape. So Noah had no ability to guide, direct, or power his boat. But yet the boat God showed me did. Noah got on, he was just in for the ride. But we get to determine the direction and speed of our boat. Amen. And our boat has power. Now, I don't know the real implications of that, but I knew that God's saying, I've put more in your hands, more responsibility than Noah had once he got on board. We choose what level we're going to go forth. Genesis chapter 6, are you there? Go to verse number 11. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. The earth was corrupt and full of violence. Sound familiar at all? It's amazing how much hate and other things, they birth violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. All flesh became self-corrupted. In other words, they willingly sinned. They willingly rebelled against God. And God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Here God tells Noah, because of the corruption, remember the sheet metal blaster free of corruption? Those that haven't experienced God's purging process still carry that corruption. Even Christians that have not let God shift them. He says, because of the corruption, I'm going to destroy them off of the earth. And you think God's not going to make some shifts now? That was what I saw following the boat speeding up the river, was the destruction that's going to take place. But corruption gives access to destruction. When you get when you involve yourself in sin, it opens doors to the demonic to have access to your life. And so we must allow God to deliver us from that which can birth destruction. You got to be willing to say, God, cleanse me, change me, deliver me. And of course, we usually know what we need delivered from, right? And He's doing it supernaturally. You remember when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and the glory came upon Him, and it says His clothes were transformed white, whiter than any soap could get them? Use the term Fuller soap. I don't know what Fuller soap is, but it must be a really good soap. He was He glowed with the glory of God. And I believe as God moves upon his people that have volunteered to be sandblasted, we're going to see that glory come forth. But they cannot commingle. Exodus chapter 32. Exodus 32, Moses has been on top of Mount Sinai receiving the Ten Commandments. How many know that was an experience? How many know he came down with the glory of God on him? Exodus 32, look at verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, get thee down, go get thee down, for thy people which thou hast brought us out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and sacrificed thereunto. And said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, here, Moses on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. And the people start grumbling. Tell Aaron, they want to go back, and Aaron has them, the high priest Aaron has them give him all their jewelry. We weren't high priest yet. All the jewelry, go, and he makes a golden calf out of it for them to worship. In fact, the word seems to allude they were actually having an orgy to the golden calf. Crazy. Moses is on the mountain with God, and the multitudes downstairs, the people of God, are so, how can I say, worldly minded. They leave off God's ways and involve themselves in total heathenism. In other words, there was a split. Moses on track to go to the glory, and multitudes involved in people pleasing. And it's a dangerous place to be. So it says, verse 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. Here God tells Moses, watch this, God tells Moses, they have fallen. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to destroy them. I'm going to wipe them out. And Moses, because you stayed on track, I'm going to make of you a great nation. And what did Moses do? He said, no, not so, Lord. And Moses interceded for the people to have another chance. Someday I'll fix it. And God allowed Israel to have another shot. Amen. And Israel did go in and eventually possess the promised land 40 years later. So, because of corruption, God was going to, he destroyed the world of Noah. Because of corruption, he was going to destroy all of Israel, but Moses stood in the gap. What I'm getting at is corruption births destruction. And here we are. Gross darkness coming on the earth. And that destruction is taking place. And in the book, The Harbinger, it foresaw events like this. It said, unless God moves, this nation is going to be in major trouble. And I don't think we've seen the end of it yet. Because the glory's not come on the scene yet. Nothing has taken place to quell this canopy of darkness yet. At least not that's being seen. But God said he's bringing the glory at this gross darkness season to turn things around. So I think things will continue to decline, get worse potentially. There may be ups and downs, but until the glory is, nothing's going to be fixed. Not in a permanent fashion. You can only buy off people so long. Judges chapter 2, you still with me? Judges 2. And here Joshua dies. And if we go to verse 19, and it came to pass when the judge was dead, that they, talking about Israel, returned and corrupted themselves. This is our corruption again. Corrupted themselves more than their fathers in following other gods to serve them and to bow down unto them. They ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he said, because that this people has transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, I also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations which Joshua left when he had died. God had told Israel, when they crossed the Jordan, to go in and drive out the nations in the promised land and possess that land. And Joshua did with a whole bunch of it, but not everybody was conquered. And God's plan was, once Joshua died, someone else would pick up the reins and continue to possess that land. But instead, the people went back to sinning and bowing down to other gods. They went back to doing things their way versus God's way. And God says, because of this, I will no longer give them the ability to possess. They will no longer drive out their enemies. They will have to learn to bow down to their enemies and cohabit. Now, hopefully I don't say anything wrong here or offensive. But I find it interesting right now, there's a bow down movement. Bow down movement. Now, as I said before, I don't agree anything about what happened to Mr. Floyd. I'm not convinced those officers were racist. They may have just been totally demonic. I believe it was a ploy of the enemy to cause division. He just found some psychopath to do it. And I believe they should have shot the officer right on the spot. Skip all the formality. Just shoot him right there. At least arrested him right away. But now we have a mess. All contrived and planned by the enemy. Trying to birth. How can I say not birth, but bring to a head feelings of resentment in the nation. But God has a plan. He's going to turn it around. But here we see every case in the Word, and I've got others that are there. Every case where corruption entered Israel or entered the earth, God said it shuts down your ability to move into my blessing. And in fact, destruction enters. And in this nation, follow me, in this nation, we've let corruption come to a peak. Pedophilia on a national scale being swept under the rug. Homosexual marriage and rights being promoted. I mean, we had a major decision by the Supreme Court the other day to authenticate homosexual rights. Abortion, the worst of all of them, a national right. Celebrated. This nation has made its own bed. And the church has let it. Because we were so busy building our own house. Talking about generations, not just us. But I believe, like Moses stood here and he says, no, God, don't destroy the land. Don't destroy. See, when God said, I'm going to destroy the people, he's saying, I'm going to destroy Israel. Moses would have been the only Israelite left alive. He was about to destroy a nation. Yet Moses interceded for the nation, and God repented of what he was going to do. Well, here we are. This nation is deserving of destruction. No nation has ever been given so much and let it slip. Amen. But I believe God has a plan to raise up Moses that will get out of this just trying to live their life and survive and not offend anybody and just get along. Get free of that mindset and say, no, I'm going to stand in the gap and I'm going to stay on my face until God moves on behalf of this nation. Because when God told Moses, I'm going to destroy Israel, I don't believe he took it cavalier, as you know, in a cavalier fashion. Well, God, I don't know. Let me pray about that. I believe Moses fell on his face before God and pleaded, God, have mercy on this nation. Who will do that for America right now? Remember on that prayer tomorrow night, 11 o'clock. You don't have to come to that. Pray at home. Come Sunday nights. I really have it in mind. I'm brainstorming right now, although we're still filming. I really have it in my heart. And I would do it if I thought I could get enough people to show up. I would love to do a week straight of intercession. Start like at 10 in the morning and go till 10 o'clock at night for like 7 straight days. And see what God did. But I'm afraid it would end up being the same 5 that show up for all night prayer on Friday nights for 7 straight days. And we can only eat so much Domino's pizza or Little Caesar's pizza and Fig Newtons, right? Well, listen, I'm going to stop there for tonight. Again, this was kind of a brainstorming session, just laying out what God's shown us, what he says he's going to do, where we're at right now, and be praying, God, show me where you're going next, what's coming next, and refuse. You got to refuse to get lethargic or apathetic. You know, the sin of the Laodicean church was they thought they were rich and increased with goods, but God said, you're poor, blind, and naked. You need to anoint your eyes with eye salve and repent from where you're fallen. That's where most of the church is. They think they're fine. And I'm not sure in God's eyes the church is. So, Father, in this church, I thank you they're none sick. No COVID-19. No division, no offense, no strife. No lack in any fashion. And I think you're raising up intercessors in this church like never before. You're bringing in prayer warriors who will invest their lives in standing in the gap for this nation and for the world. Bring your glory to Georgetown. Bring it on this church. Bring it on us. And whatever you got to change in our lives, we do volunteer for it. Open up your word to us. Bring us divine appointments, divine connections. We want to be about the Father's business. We thank you. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.